Okay, while Yud Amid Beis, we're starting 11 lines from the bottom of the page. In the Mishnah, it said a statement that the laws of Me'ilah, which means if somebody misuses Hegdish and accidentally, so then they have to pay the principal plus an additional fifth plus a carbon. It says that the laws of Me'ilah are mountains hanging on a hair, meaning the laws of Me'ilah are many, and there's very few verses in Chumash dealing with it. So the Gemara asked the question, what do you mean Me'ilah is not in Chumash? There's psukim full in Chumash about the laws of Me'ilah. Why are you saying there's very little mention in Chumash? So the Gemara started answering different answers, okay? So we're going to start again, Amar Rava. We're in the middle of this Gemara though. Amar Rava, Rava said, 11 from the bottom.
Okay.
No, a few lines before Rav Ashi. Amar Rava, Rava said, you know where we need this case, where it's like very little mention in Chumash, it's basically oral tradition. L'chadetanya, to a din that we learned. We learned a din that nizke balabayis, we learned that if a guy sends a shliach with money of the Beis HaMikdash to spend, and the shliach did his job, so then the owner is considered as if he defiled the Hegdash. He did the din of Me'ilah. So it says, what happens after the owner sends the shliach on the way? The owner remembered it was the Beis HaMikdash money, but the shliach didn't remember. So by the time the messenger spent the money, the owner remembered that it was Hegdish, so he doesn't have the din of Me'ilah, but the shliach did Me'ilah. So it says, what's the din? Shliach mal, the shliach does Me'ilah. So Ravis says, this din doesn't make sense. Why doesn't it make sense? Shliach, Anya, my kavod, what do you want from the poor shliach? He didn't know anything. He didn't know that it was money of the Beis HaMikdash. So Haino, this is what we say, Kardorin Atluyim Besaido, it's like a mountain hanging on a hair, because this din is illogical, and the Torah says, this is the halacha. 10b3, by you. So Amar Ravashi, Ravashi said, my kushya, why is it so difficult to understand? It's a very logical din. Why do you have to use the expression, it's like mountains hanging on a hair? My Dilma, why is it any different? Have a meiti mois hegdish. Why is it any different than a guy that spends money of hegdish? Anytime you spend money of hegdish, you do the din of me'ilah. So why is the shliach different? Why isn't he logical? It is logical. He did the shliach. Bottom line, spent the money of hegdish. He spent the money of hegdish. It's his problem. Ela meravashi, Ravashi says, I'll tell you a different din. And this is where we're up to now. Ela meravashi. The case is speaking, meaning, when is the din of Me'ilah illogical, that it's called mountains hanging on hair? It's in din as follows. We learned in the Mishnah, Notol Evan, a Kedesh Shel Hegdish, if a guy took a stone or a beam that belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, he didn't do anything with it, he just took it. The din is, Hareizel Le'mo'al, he doesn't do Me'ilah. And the Gemara is going to explain, just taking it, he didn't spend it, he didn't use it, it's still in the possession of Hegdish. He didn't do anything with it, so there's no Me'ilah. What happened? Nosn l'chaveray, but he gave it to his friend. A guy took a stone that belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, so he doesn't do Me'ilah yet. If he gives it to his friend, then he does Me'ilah. Humal, he does Me'ilah, but chaveray mal, his friend doesn't do Me'ilah. So it says, michti, it doesn't make sense. Why? Mishkel shokle. The pearl, the bottom line is the stone was taken. Mali hu mali chaveru. What's the difference if he took it or his friend took it? When he took it, we say that he does not do me'ilah. And his friend took it, he gave it to his friend, so then there is a din of me'ilah. That's illogical. It's completely illogical. So this is what the Gemara says. This is what the Mishnah means. Hadarim atluim besaida. It's a mountain suspended by a hair. Meaning, the Gemara is trying to figure out the expression mountains suspended on a hair means it's completely illogical. So the Gemara is trying to find case of Me'ilah which doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says this case doesn't make sense. Because he took it, he doesn't do Me'ilah. Over there, he gives it to his friend, the friend does Me'ilah. Why? What's the difference between him and the friend? But the Gemara asks right away, no, my Kashi, I've explained to you logically why it's like that. Because Dilma could have Shmuel, maybe it's the din of Shmuel. The Amr Shmuel said, "Ha'cha, this case is speaking, beniske begizber Hamasudasli Avni Binyan Askinan. You know who the first guy is? The treasurer of the Beis Hamikdash. So he has no own money. When he picked up the beam of the Beis Hamikdash, he never took it out of the Beis Hamikdash. Because even if he did, he's in charge of the Beis Hamikdash. It's still Beis Hamikdash. So when he takes it, he does not do Me'ila. But if he gives it to his friend, who is not a treasurer of the Beis Hamikdash, so then now it's going out of the Beis Hamikdash. So now there is a din of Me'ila. So what's so illogical about that? And like he says, D'chol heicha d'mancha, anytime, any place where it is, if the treasurer is holding it, it's resting in his possession. If it's resting in his possession, so then there's no me'ila. But if he gives it to his friend, or if another guy would just pick up the stone from the Beis HaMikdash, there would be a din of me'ila. What?
It says he gave it to his friend, he ma'al, and his friend lo ma'al.
Right.
How do you know who is he and who is the friend?
No, because it says, hu ma'al, v'chaveire lo ma'al. It says, nasan l'chaveire. If he gave it to his friend, so he does me'ila and the friend doesn't.
Okay.
The friend that he gave it to. Because he already took it out of the Beis HaMikdash.
So he took it, and did not change anything or give it or whatever.
Because he was the treasurer, it's still in the domain of the Beis HaMikdash.
And before we know that he's a treasurer,
the Gemara thought it's speaking about any guy.
Yeah, so if he just took but did not use it, we were saying he...
That's what the Gemara thought. So the Gemara said, that doesn't make sense. Because what's the difference if he takes it or his friend takes it? So my answer is no. Just taking it is me'ila. Even if you didn't use it. That's the way the Gemara is learning now. Just taking it is a din of me'ila. You're misusing Hedish. So if he's the treasurer, he never took it. Nobody's going to say the treasurer takes and steals every time he picks up. I mean, he's working for the Beis HaMikdash.
If the treasurer takes it and uses it to buy food for the house,
then he for sure is me'ila.
Just like a
Sadaka collector. Yeah. He's collecting for the institution. He's working for the Beis HaMikdash. But once he gives it to his friend, the friend is, now I, by giving it to you, if I'm the treasurer, I took it out of the domain of the Beis HaMikdash just by giving it to you. So then I did something wrong, so I have to do Me'ila. You don't do Me'ila because it's already out. There's no Me'ila after Me'ila. For instance, if this Gemara belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and I use it first for personal, and then you use it for personal, you don't do Me'ila anymore. There's no Me'ila after Me'ila. Because once I unhegdished it, that's it. I have Me'ila, and nobody else has Me'ila. Doesn't know. Even if we both don't know about it.
And at what time you need to bring 1 1/4 the value and a korban? Unless you took the Gemara and then you gave it to me.
No.
You need to go to court to pay this 1 1/4? And
yeah, Bezdin. Bezdin makes you pay. Sure.
But if you don't go to court, so you don't, you're not obligated to bring a korban or anything.
If a guy desecrated Shabbos accidentally, and that he has to bring a korban, and he decides he's not to, no, so who's he hurting? He's not hurting God; he's hurting himself. Like this is tshuva, and he's not going to get forgiveness. But the evaluation of the property had to be done by the courts. All the evaluation of properties were done by the court.
And the korban is a separate step?
Separate step. That's based on English. Bezdin says you have to bring a korban.
Or I could bring it without Bezdin.
Oh, you could bring it without Bezdin, but I'm saying to figure out how much you have to pay, how much the value of it, Bezdin figured all the values. In Torah law, Bezdin figured all the values. Sometimes they went by market value, you know, whatever the market value, or whatever, but Bezdin always had to figure out. Anytime there was division of properties, Bezdin had to do it. Unless if everybody agreed. I mean, everybody agrees, you don't have to go to Bezdin.
Is that because there's no accountants?
There's no lawyers either.
How
In the case that last week, his friend did the meila, right?
Right.
And in this case, he did the meila, the treasurer.
Right.
What's the difference between the two? What's the main difference here? That makes, in the first case, makes the friend the meila, who did the meila, and here makes the, the treasurer the.
No, the case over there is, if I send you as an agent, what we learned last week?
Right, a shliach.
If I make you an agent, and you listen to me, so it's like I did it. If you didn't listen to me, I told you to buy potatoes, and you bought onions, so then you do me'ila, because you didn't listen to me. But if you listen to me, I told you, here's money, buy potatoes, and you bought potatoes, so it's like I bought the potatoes.
The friend didn't do.
If the friend,
the sender,
if the messenger did exactly what the sender told him to do, then the sender did it. So the Gemara says, "Elami Seifa." What's the din of this Seifa? The din of the Seifa is as follows: Bana b'teich beisei. What happened? The treasurer took this beam. Instead of giving it, until now we learned the treasurer took the stone or the beam and he gave it to his friend. What happens, instead of doing that, the treasurer took the beam and put it into his own house. So the din is, Hareza le'mo'al, he doesn't do me'ila, at she'yoda tachtea b'shava pruta, unless, if he lived in the house, a pruta's value. That means, he had to derive benefit from it. Now, in other words, as follows. Me'ila has two parts to it. Either you benefit from Hegdish for yourself, or you remove it from Hegdish's possession. That's why in the case we just learned, if the treasurer gave it to his friend, just by giving it to the friend, even if the friend didn't even use it, it was taken out of the domain of Hegdish. Okay? If the treasurer himself uses it, it never left the possession of Hegdish because he's Hegdish. I mean, he's the base of Hegdish. But if he benefits personal usage from the thing, he also does Me'ila. So if he just puts the beam in the house, it never left the base of Hegdish yet because he's the base of Hegdish. But if he lived under it, then he benefited from it, so then he does Me'ila. So it says, Michti, let's see. Shenu Yeshanya, just by putting it into the house, he already changed it. Mali dar li mali loydar. What's the difference if the guy lived or not? If he put it into his house, why isn't that changing the domain? So Gemara says, therefore we must say, Haren keroyen hartluyen beside him. This is, again, the mountain hanging on the hair. It's illogical. Because what do we say? That if he puts it into the house, there's no me'ila. If he lives under it, then there is me'ila. What's the difference? If he puts it into his house, why isn't that taking it out of the domain? So he says, no. Michael, I'll tell you why it's also logical. Dilma l'chad Rav, maybe it goes according to the din of Rav. Why? The Amr Rav, Rav said, K'rein shehenichal gabi aruva. You're right. If the guy built it into his building, he right away does me'ila, even if he didn't live under it. But if the guy just put it on top of a roof, he just put it down, he didn't take it out of the Beis HaMikdash yet.
Or in his courtyard.
Or in his courtyard. So therefore, the din is, idarve, if he benefits from it, then it's me'ila. He doesn't benefit, it's not me'ila. But that's logical, the Gemara says. It's not mountain suspended on a hair. In other words, the Gemara thought the guy built it into the building. So the Gemara says, 1 minute, that doesn't make sense. If he built it into the building, that already, L'cha'edo took it out of Hegdish.
There's still mountains.
Why?
All this is not said in the Hegdish.
Yeah, but the Gemara is using the expression that basically it's because something which is completely illogical, and all these mountains are hanging on like a few verses of Chumash because they don't make sense. And therefore, the Gemara keeps trying to find cases that don't make sense. And this is what the Mishnah means, the mountain suspended on a hair. Because if it makes sense, it makes sense. That's all. Yeah, it's hanging on the hair. But it's hanging on the hair.
Yeah.
The hair is holding it up. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Elam, the Gemara says, you know what the case is? Kedarava, like Rav said before, like we just learned today. What was Rav's case? Rav's case was, like we said, it's speaking, the owner remembered, and the guy didn't. So on that, Ravashi asked, but why is this different than any guy that uses Hegdish, that there's a din of Me'ila? So Gemara says, La'elum kudrav. I would a kakashloch, but you're asking Ravashi's question. Why is it different than taking out money from Hegdish to unhegdish? So Gemara says, oh, there's a big difference. Hasim made the yada the ikazuzah the Hegdish. When a guy uses Hegdish, he doesn't know this money is Hegdish, but he knows there is such a thing called Hegdish. He's using money, and he knows there is money of Hegdish. He doesn't know that this money is Hegdish. But Iboile Leyuni, therefore the person should have checked into it, because if he has Hegdish in his possession, he should know that he has Hegdish in his possession. So he should know about it. Here, I sent you to do it. How are you supposed to know what's going on in my house? In other words, when I have money of Hegdish, and my own personal money, and by mistake I use Hegdish money instead of personal money, it makes sense I have to do Me'ila. Why? Because if I know I have Hegdish money, check it out to make sure you're not using the wrong money. But if I send you to go to the store for me and I give you a $10 bill, why in the world should you think it's Hegdish? Why in the world should you think it's Hegdish? So that doesn't make sense. That if I remembered it was Hegdish, and you didn't know yet it was Hegdish, and you spent the money, so the din says, you do Me'ila. That doesn't make sense. Ravashi asks, what do you mean? What's it different than any guy spending money of Hegdish? Over there, when a guy spends money of Hegdish, he should have known that he has Hegdish money, and therefore he's negligent by not checking into it to know which money is spendable and which money is not spendable. But if a guy gives somebody money, you're supposed to think it's stolen money, or it's money of Hegdish, or it's anything like that. Why should he think like that? And yet the din is, if the sender remembered, the shliach has to do Me'ila. The Gemara said, that doesn't make sense. And that's the final answer. Because the taka doesn't make sense, huh?
Yeah, it really doesn't make sense. Even if you would have asked, it doesn't make sense. Why would you even ask? The shliach is transgressing his original.
No, he's doing exactly what the guy told him to do.
But if he doesn't,
then he has to do Me'ila.
Right. So he's transgressing the first thing, the first law, the shliach, get abide by the.
But here he's doing it. The only problem over here is that the owner realizes it's Hegdish before the guy sends it. You have a similar crazy case by a get. Okay? If a husband sends a get to his wife for a shliach, okay? Until the woman gets the get, it's still the sender. Right? He's the hand of the sender. If a woman sends a shliach to accept her get, the second you give it to the shliach, the woman's divorced, because it's her hand. So she accepted the get. If a man sends a get with a shliach, okay, and the shliach, until he gives the get to the wife, right, she's not divorced. Now what happens, a guy sends a guy from LA, a guy in LA is sending a get to New York. So he sends a shliach to fly it to New York. Yeah? Before the guy gets to New York, the owner says, you know what, I changed my mind, I don't want to divorce my wife. So now, the get's not a get. Right? Because just like the sender himself, the husband, if he's bringing the get to the wife and he changes his mind, nothing, so the get's not a get. Right? But you have a case, don't forget, they didn't have emails and faxes and cell phones and all that. A guy sends his a shliach to New York to give a get. Yeah? En route, the husband says, you know what, I made up with my wife, forget it, I'm not divorcing her. The shliach doesn't know, because if the shliach knows, he's not allowed to give the get, right? The shliach didn't know, and he gives the get to the woman. And the woman remarries.
The woman what?
Remarries to somebody else. Not knowing. Not knowing.
This guy is in LA. He's divorcing his wife. Wife lives in New York.
She lives in New York.
Where does he live?
Here.
She lives in the holy city of New York. He lives in the Michigan, a place called California.
So why is he, if he wants to marry again, why is he back with her in New York?
No, he doesn't want to remarry her. She marries somebody else.
But you said
he changes his mind not to divorce his wife.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
So he decides not to divorce her.
Okay.
But the shliach doesn't know that he changed his mind. The shliach brings him the get. Brings her the get.
So what happens then?
And then she marries somebody else.
So what does that mean?
So what's the problem? It's a big problem. Well, the Gemara says that the Afkin Rabbanu Kedushim, in that case, the Chacham uprooted the original Kedushim, it never happened. The first marriage never happened.
First marriage?
They undid the first marriage.
What if they have kids?
Doesn't matter. So they had kids without marriage. It's not an annulment. It's a chacham mevakoyach when things go wrong to annul the first kedushin.
Why would this guy?
On some basis, though, maybe because of the witness, has to be some basis, or just like that.
No, because the Gemara asks, "What's the woman? Do you know what did she do wrong? She got a kosher get. She thought it was a kosher get. What does she know? And any Bezdin looks at the get, it's a kosher get. I mean, what's Bezdin supposed to think
Bezdin
that the guy changed?
No,
they are not. You know, when you give, the Gemara has a famous expression. I don't know why we're learning. It's not really relevant here. Call a mekadesh, adaita drabana mekadesh. When a guy does kedushin, it's based on what the chachamim want. You know, when you say, when you give a ring, you say, adayat mekadeshesi betabazu. But you don't stop there. You say Kadas Moshe v'Yisrael. L'chayr, if you say Ariat Mekudeshesi b'tabazu, you are betrothed to me with this ring. Stop. But you don't say that. You say Kadas Moshe v'Yisrael, meaning according to the law of the Moshe in Israel, meaning what Bezdin wants. What Bezdin wants. Bezdin says because of this situation, we don't approve to the first marriage, and they uproot it. He made up with his wife.
But he made up with his wife? She's still in New York? He's there?
Yeah, they live long distance.
And why would she accept the get? Why would she accept it in the first place? If it's a, why made
well,
my,
she I doesn't mean, know. She doesn't know he changed his mind either. He thinks that she knows.
What happens is if she knows he changed his mind, but she took the get because she doesn't want to stay married to him? That could also be, by the way.
Let me ask you a question. If they made up in between, and he shows up with the get?
Well, then normally the woman would say, forget it, because my husband changed his mind.
Yeah, yeah. But
so either she did know, or she doesn't want to know.
Probably in the case where...
We have to get back. With
going back to here. When he realized,
the sender realized that it's Hegdish.
Yes. Does that invalidate him being the
shaliach? No.
He continues to be a shaliach.
The shliach was to buy potatoes. Because I realized the money is hegdish, means he can't be a shliach to buy potatoes. The shliach is a shliach.
So
right.
And then he has
but he cannot, the sender can't do me'ilah, because me'ilah is only when it's spent and you didn't know it. Here he knew it.
He found out on the way when he's traveling, he found out that he
was right. But the money wasn't spent yet.
It wasn't spent. He doesn't have to do me'ilah.
But the shliach does.
Because he spent.
And he didn't know. Right.
Doesn't make sense. Could it be in a way, if somebody, let's say, for example...
That's the Gemara says it doesn't make sense, because how in the world is the shliach supposed to know that it's Hegdish money? Why should he even think it's Hegdish money?
But the fact is that whatever it was, he did something wrong.
The shliach. That's why the din is, he does do me'ilah. It doesn't make sense because he didn't know he did something wrong. But the bottom line of it is, he did something wrong. You could drink poison and not know it's poison, and somebody could tell you it's health food. You're still going to, God forbid, not you. Somebody will die from it.
Just like if somebody gave meat, yeah, kosher and non-kosher, and by mistake he gave the non-kosher.
Right.
And the guy ate it. And the fact that he ate it...
He has to do tshuva. Right. Right. to the dinners, he has to meal. But the Gemara said, you're asking a question, why is it different than any guy spending money that he has on his own? The Gemara says, there's a big difference. When you have money of Hegdish and money of non-Hegdish, you better make sure that you're spending non-Hegdish money. But how in the world should this guy even think to ask the question? That's all. Okay, then the Mishnah continued. There are certain things that are mikra muat. There's a few things, many things in the material, that there's very few psukim, v'halachas merubis, and a lot of halachas. So the Gemara is going to explain what does that mean. So Gemara says, Tanu, we learned, negoyim and ahalais, the laws of leprosy. And ahalais, ahalais basically, you know, when you're in the same ohel, the same tent, as a dead body, you know, all the laws of purity and impurity like that. So the Gemara says, mikra mu'et, there's very small, few psukim, v'alachas merubis, and there's numerous laws. So the Gemara asks, Nigoyim mikra mu'et? You tell me leprosy. There's parshas, Tazriya Metzera, there's full parshas talking about leprosy. You're telling me there's few psukim about leprosy? Amen, Rav Papa said, Hachi, come, and this is what it means. He changes it. Nigoyim mikra meruba, the laws of leprosy have a lot of psukim and very few halachas. Always the laws of tents, that means if you're in the same tent with a dead body, mikra mu'et is few psukim, but halachas merubis, a lot of halachas. So the Gemara is explaining this is what the Mishnah means. Negoyim are plagues. Negoyim, no, what's negoyim?
What? Lemonade, right? Lemonade
one. Yeah, but it says in English you have laws of negoyim.
And olos.
Yeah, but what's negoyim?
I don't know.
So I'm telling you, it's leprosy. No, I'm telling you, it's leprosy. If you look in 7 at the bottom, Negoim refers to the laws of Tsaras affliction. Tsaras is leprosy. Always is ohel that comes in this, that you're in the same tent. So the Gemara says, leprosy has a lot of psukim and not that many halachas. And the laws of tents have very few psukim and a lot of halachas. So the Gemara says, my nafkimi, what difference does it make? The laws are the laws anyway. What's the difference? It has a lot of psukim, a little psukim. So the Gemara says, it's a strange answer, but the Gemara says, if you have a doubt concerning laws of Negoim, where should you look? He says, don't look in Mishnah. Look in the Chumash. I am Bekroi, look in the Psukim. And if you have a doubt about the laws of tents, you don't know. I am a Masnitan, look in the Mishnah. Because in the Psukim, there's very little discussed about it. So they're just interesting. Don't forget, today, in those days, they had different style learning, you know. They didn't have books like we have today. Everything was oral. So the Gemara says, you have a question in leprosy, look in the Pasuk. You have a question in the laws of impurity, look in the Mishnah. Don't look in the Pasuk, there's nothing there. And then the Gemara continues, and it says, Dinim, the Mishnah said that Dinim, the laws of monetary laws, you know, all the fines and monetary payments and so on. So it said in the Mishnah, have a few psukim and a lot of laws. So the Gemara asks, Michtav Ksivim. There are a lot of laws. The whole Mishpatim. The laws of Dinim are plentiful in Chumash. So it says, Leinitzcha ela kel Rebbe. And this is where interesting where Torah differs from the way the Goyim interpret Torah, by the way. It says, what we needed for what Rebbe said. The Tanya, Rabbi Eimer, Rabbi says, it says in the Pasuk, nefesh tachas nefesh. That you do soul for soul. What's the case over there? The Pasuk is speaking about two men fighting, and they wanted to kill each other. And by mistake, a woman went by, and the guy hit the woman, and she died. So it says, you have to do nefesh tachas nefesh.
Soul for soul, supposedly.
Which simply means you would kill the guy. Right? Soul for soul. But eye for an eye, the guy would take it literally, you know. Hand for a hand, you chop off the hand, you know. An eye for a, you knock out an eye. Rebbe says that's not what it means. Nefesh tachas nefesh is mammon, is money. You only have to pay money, rather rather than killing the guy. Oh. So Rebbe holds an interesting concept, and not everybody agrees with Rebbe. This is a very interesting halach. Yeah, everybody was watching. But the question over here is as follows. The two guys were fighting with the intent of killing each other. And the bystander happened to be a woman. Bystander, by mistake, when they hit her and killed her, they didn't intend with that blow to kill her. They intended to kill somebody else.
To kill,
but not her. So now the question is that called intentional killing or not? So the Chachamim hold, it's called intentional killing. Because the blow that you did was intention to kill. Except you killed a different guy.
It's not like you're chopping wood.
Right. It's not like chopping wood and the thing flies off and you kill a guy accidentally. Then you go to the city refuge. But here, your intention was to kill, but the wrong guy. Let's speak in modern day terms. A guy shoots a gun to kill somebody, and a guy gets in the way and he kills somebody else instead. So does he get capital punishment for that or not? So Rebbe says no. Why? Because the guy you killed, bottom line, was not the guy you intended to kill. The Chachamim hold that the fact that you intended to kill and somebody got killed, it doesn't matter whom. You get capital punishment because you killed.
So intent holds here, but not in the laws of Me'ila, where the Shliach goes out of, without his intent.
Because the whole law of Me'ila, by definition, means when it's unintentional. The whole... One of the things you have to leave in the field for the poor person is if you forgot a certain amount of stalks, you have to leave them. The whole mitzvah is only unintentional. If you knew it, then there's no mitzvah to leave it. It's only when you forgot it, that's when you have to not go back and take it. The whole concept of me'ila is only when it's unintentional. If it's intentional, there's no me'ila. Like if the balabas remembered before the shliach, the balabas doesn't do me'ila because it's intentional. So the Gemara is saying, nefesh, tachas nefesh, is again something that doesn't make sense. That's not clear in the Chumash. If it's not clear in the Chumash, it's the mountains, again the same thing. No. He says, dinim is, there's what to rely on, but, you know, not so much. So he says, this refers to what Rebbe said.
Are we saying that if it is intentional, the me'ila, take it from Bes Avigdos?
It's not, there's no din of me'ila. It's a different din.
Like what, stealing? Or what?
Stealing, whatever. There's not the din of me'ila. Me'ila is only when it's b'shaygig. So Rebbe says it's money. Okay? Now, by the way, so Rebbe says you have to pay money. What's called money for a life? Huh? No? How much should we, how much she would be sold as a slave on the market? That's the value of a person in Torah. Because life is infinite. I mean, what are you going to put a price on life? How does Torah describe the value of life? How much you sold on the market as a slave? You chop off somebody's hand, God forbid, you have to pay damages.
Which part? What country?
Anyone? Where they were. Wherever they were. Whatever. A guy chops somebody's hand off, yeah? You have to pay the damage. How much is the damage? Not a guy that's an artist, whatever. How much a guy is sold on the market as a slave with two hands, and how much is sold in with one hand, and the difference is what you pay. Now if you kill somebody.
No.
I mean, God forbid somebody chops off somebody's hand, how do they decide it? I don't think those cases end up too much in Bezin because they're criminal. They end up in court.
What if they're real chassids and they don't want to go to court?
There's any witnesses, right?
No, I don't know how they've. How much. I don't know how it's done today. In the Gemara, it says there in Shulchan Aruch, it says on the slave market.
Who should take
Yeah. Depends before the tsunamis or after the tsunamis. But now Rebbe proves his point. Because the bottom line is, when you kill the woman or the other bystander unintentionally, the pasuk says you have to give salt out for a soul. Right? So how does Rebbe get the right to come along and say it means money? The Torah says nefesh, tachas, nefesh, soul for a soul. Maybe it means you can kill him. So he says, ata imam, and Rebbe's like explaining himself. You say it's money. Maybe it means taka the murderer is executed, because he did kill a person. So it says, Namra Nasina Lamata, later on a Chumash it says the word giving. But Namra Nasina Lamaila, and over here it also says the word Nasina, meaning, I'll explain in a second, Mala Halamama, just like over there is money, Afka Mam, and here is also money. Meaning as follows. There's another pasuk. If a man by mistake pushed a pregnant woman, she had a miscarriage because of it. She didn't die, but she had a miscarriage because of it. So how do you pay damages? So over there the Torah says, you have to give money. And over there the Torah says, the same giving.
The value of what? The value of the baby or the value of...
How much? No. How much a pregnant woman is sold on the slave market with the... Because when she's pregnant, she's worth more. Because then the master gets another slave. When it's born. Yeah. So therefore, the Gemara says, it's Exer Shavi. Here it says Nasata, and there it says Nasata. Mala Hala Mammon, just like over there is money. Avka Mammon, here's also money. So this is not explicit. So therefore, the Mishnah says, it has biblical support. That's what the Mishnah said about all these things. The Mishnah said, Yesh l'mamashi yismeichu, they have psukim to rely on. But it's not clear in Chumash. It's like Zeir Shavah. Here it says giving, here it says giving. So it's called relied on Chumash. Then the Gemara continues and says, Avedis, the Inyan Yonim of the Beis HaMikdash. So it says, Michtav Ksiva. So again, the Gemara says, what are you, it's written in Chumash. What do you mean? It's only they have like to find the support in the Chumash. It is in Chumash. The laws of Karbanis. So the Gemara says, you know what's not written in Chumash? Halachas Adam, carrying the blood from where you shecht it to the Mizbeach. Meaning as follows. When a Kohen shechted the animal for a korban, he had to, it was called Kabbalah Saddam. The Gemara is going to say, he has to receive the blood in a vessel, and then he has to take the blood to the Mizbeach. That's the din. Now it says, the Tanya says in the Pasuk, V'ikrivu, it says you should be makriv the carbon. So the Gemara says, what does V'ikrivu mean? They should bring the blood. Zu Kabbalah Saddam. That's taking the blood into a vessel. You know, we see when you shecht it, you have to hold the vessel underneath the neck, and you get blood. V'afke rachmana b'loshen elocha, yet the Torah says it's called taking, t'chsiv, v'hikriv ha'kenes ha'kil. The Kohen is makriv everything. V'hikdera mizbeach, and he brings it on the mizbeach. V'amamar, and we said in the Gemara, Zuhaylocha seivarim lakevesh refers to carrying the limbs to the mizbeach. Meaning, even though over there hakrava means carrying, here hakrava means receiving. So it says, L'memet to teach us, Haylocha leitavke meklal kabbalah, that the service of carrying the blood should not be excluded from the rules of receiving the blood. Meaning, it doesn't say anywhere in Chumash, take the blood. But one pasuk it says, take the limbs, uses the same word that it says to receive the blood. So just like over there it means take the limbs to the altar, over here it also means take the blood to the Mizbeach. Even though it doesn't say it clearly in Chumash, but we learn it out from the Chumash. So therefore, the Gemara says this is considered halachas that have a basis in Chumash, even though it's not explicitly in the Chumash.
So really want us to think.
Yep. Hashem said a lot of things because he wants us to think, yeah. I mean, that's the whole greatness of Torah. Then it says, Taris, the laws of purity. So the Gemara says, Michta Ksive, it does say it in the Chumash, the laws of purity. So the Gemara says, Leinitzrachat speaking, Leshir Mikvah. The amount, the size of a mikvah. In other words, what does the Torah say? Go to the mikvah, right? Does the Torah say how big a mikvah is? The Torah doesn't say the amounts of a mikvah. So of course the Torah says how you become tameh. The Torah says go to the mikvah to become tahor. But the Gemara says the Torah doesn't explicitly describe a mikvah. What do we know? And the Gemara says, how do you know the size of a mikvah? The Gemara learns it as follows. What is it teaching us for the amount, the size of a mikveh, to like siva, because it's not written explicitly in Chumash. Where is it written? The Tanya says in the Braise, it says in the Chumash as follows. You have to immerse your body in water. Now, b'mei mikveh means a mikveh. Okay, not in the swimming pool. But teaches us, as Kol Besari B'Tatayra says, you have to wash all your meat, all your flesh, meaning, Mayim Shekol Gufi Eilah Bahen. Water that can cover the whole body at one time. That means, when the Tatayra says, wash your entire body, means, you have to go into a mikveh, which is big enough to cover your entire body. How big is that? So the Gemara says, V'kama, how big is a mikveh? Amo al amo b'reim shalosh amos. 1 cubit by a cubit by 3 cubits high. With v'shiur chachamim mei mikveh, and therefore the chachamim, based on the pasuk that says your whole body, is again, it's not explicitly in Chumash, but it has a basis in Chumash. That the chachamim said a mikveh is 40 saw. Why? Because the Torah says your whole body has to be covered by water. How much is it? Now, an average person is 3 amas long. If you stick your hands over your head and lay down, it's another amah. But the average height of a person is 3 amas. And then you need the circumference. Another amah by an amah that they could lay down and be completely covered with water. So how much is it? 40 so. That's the amount of a mikveh. So the Gemara says that this is what the Mishnah means, that even though it's not explicitly mentioned in Chumash, it has a basis in Chumash. What's the basis that a mikveh is 3 yamas by 1 amah by 1 amah? Because the Torah says, wash your entire body in water, and that's the size that covers the entire body.
Isn't it that practically every law of the 613 commandments is not said about hinted, but it's not befurbished in the Torah?
Well, that's why.
Tefillin, it does not say tefillin, black or whatever.
See, but that's what it says. Dinim, Avedis, Taris, Tumis, Arayis. Basically, all of it. All of them. Are all part of this. Like the Gemara asks all the way at the end of the parak, which is at the top of the next page, Gemara says, only these laws and the previous laws not? The Gemara says, yeah, they're also. What?
It's the whole point of Torah and Rashi Balpeh, that the Chumash is just the war of the two of them.
Yeah, but how do you know what they meant if you just read the Torah, you have to go by something else?
Right, so this means everything is bound and hung on by hair.
The truth of the matter is, it is, I'm sure the Mefarshim talk about this more. Because if you think about it, Shabbos,
everything.
The Torah says don't do work. Okay, so who classifies work? The fact that the Malach is next to the Mishkan, and that's also the same thing. And yet, it's not mentioned as one of the things. I don't know. Okay, then the Gemara asks, that was Taharis. So now the Gemara says, Tumah. Tumah is also mentioned in the Chumash. So it says, L'nisrucha el kadashim min asheretz. Now the Torah says, a bug makes you Tumah. There's 8 bugs the Torah talks about. So the question is, how much of the bug? what's the size of a bug to make you tall, or a piece of the bug? So the Gemara says, it's the size of a bean, a lentil bean. The lentil bean. Do like see that that doesn't say clearly in the Chumash the size. So it says, where do we learn this out from? The Tanya, because it says in the Braise, it says a person becomes Tami Bohem in them. I would think if you only touch the whole bug. Tamalayim mayhem from them. From the bug. Yachub Miksasats, I would think even any amount of bug sheretz makes it Tami. Tamalayim Bohem. Okay, so what does it mean? When you touch a part of the dead bug, which is like the whole part. What does this mean? What is a significant part of a bug? The Chachamim estimated the size of a lentil. Meaning, the Torah says, you don't need a whole bug, but you can't have a tiny amount of a bug. You need a decent size of a bug. Lentil. Why a lentil? Sigmar says, because this chaymet, which is a snail, tchilasi, the beginning of its creation, is bekaadasha, with the size of a lentil. No, because if that's the size of one of the bugs, the Torah calls it chaymet. And this chaymet bug begins its creation the size of a lentil. So the Chacham said, that's the size, that's a decent size of a bug. Rabbi Yehuda says a different thing. Kiznav al atol, like the tail of a lizard. The tail of a lizard is the size.
So is lizard, snail, and...
Huh?
What's the other
four? Oh, gosh. It's in the Chor, you have to look up over there. Huh?
Snakes.
Okay, next. So then the Gemara says, no, Arayis, Lucheira, the... All the way to the bottom line. I know it's the whole din of sexual forbidden relations. Tzimmer says, "Michtav chesiv etetz." Does it in the chumash? What do you mean? Tzimmer says, "Leinitzrocha ela lebite me'anusasi." This is a crazy case. If a guy raped a woman, gave birth to a girl, and then he had incest with the daughter. No, there's no... Rabbi Wolf's not having a class tonight.
Oh, thank you.
That's what we just heard.
We're done.
Because it wasn't written. So Gemara says, because Rabbi said, Amalei Rabbi Yitzchok bar Avdim, Rabbi Yitzchok bar Avdim, he said, it says, Heina, Heina, and Zima, Zima. There's Xer Shava, Heina, Heina, and Zima, Zima. Meaning, one case it says a father cannot have relations with his illegitimate daughter, and you have Zima, Zima. So basically, it's a whole Gzeira Shava, meaning the Torah doesn't say it clearly, because the question is it his daughter or not? Because it wasn't his wife. He raped a woman, she gave birth, it became a girl, and he had incest with the girl. So this is all this type of din. So therefore, it's not clearly mentioned in Chumash, and that's what it means, but it has a foundation in Chumash because it's derived from a Gzeira Shava. Now the Gemara finishes and says, "Hein ein gufi teira." The last thing the Mishnah said, "Dinim." What is it? "Dinim avei de tara tumah arayis." This is the basis of the teira. The Gemara says, "Hani in hanachle." Only these and other dinim that we learned before is not the basis of the teira. The Gemara says, "Ema hein hein gufi teira." Both are considered the essence of the Torah. So whether it's this way or this way, all the laws are the essence of the Torah. Shabbos, whatever you want, it's all part of the Torah.